When on earth, I was the brother of Jesus, and called the lesser to distinguish me from James, the brother of John and son of Zebedee. I was not the son of any Alphaeus, such as that name is understood in the New Testament, but the son of Mary and Joseph, as was my brother Jesus. Jesus himself will one day come and tell you exactly who Alphaeus was. So have faith, and believe what we write you, for it is all true. You must not doubt as you do sometimes, or let your earthly affairs turn your thoughts from the great truths which we come to teach you. So without writing more, I will say, believe. Your brother in Christ, James the Lesser. Go to the Lord, and your strength will be renewed and your soul will receive a wonderful inflowing of the divine love, so that you will be 231, able to throw aside all worries and earthly cares, and be in condition to receive the great truths that are awaiting you, for you have as your helper and friend, the greatest spirit in all God's universe. This I tell you because you need to be sustained and will be as long as you live the life of a mortal. I am not one who is known in the annals of the church or in the lives of the saints, for I never was a saint on earth and neither am I here, but only a lowly follower of the Master, who to me, is the most wonderful of all God's creatures. So you must believe that he is your friend and savior, for he is, and you need not believe in his blood, or his vicarious atonement, or his self-sacrifice either. Only believe in the divine love and in the further fact that Jesus is the way shower to all who may seek this great salvation. I must not write more, for I am not one of the high celestial spirits, as I live in the fifth sphere only, but, nevertheless, I have a very great deal of that love, and a happiness which I cannot tell you of. So with all my love, I will say good night. Your friend, John B. Carroll. A one-time resident of Baltimore, M.D., I am here, say lieber. I want to say only a few words that you may know how happy I am, and how much my soul is filled with this divine love of which you first told me. Oh, my friend, it is difficult to keep from shouting the fact that I am a redeemed child of the Father, and one who knows that his love is mine, and that I shall live through all eternity, enjoying the happiness which his love and mercy have given me. I intended to keep my promise and tell you of my life on earth many thousand years ago, and so I will sometime, but now I am so happy in this great possession that I cannot think of those earthly things in such a way as to relate to you my experience as a mortal. Wait a little while and I will try to describe to you all the things of my earth life that may be of interest to you. I will go very soon now to my people and tell them what I have found and urge them to seek for it, and I trust that they will follow my advice. There are many of them that are good and pure spirits, with a natural love in such a state that they are very happy and contented, and yet, when I realize the great difference in the happiness that is theirs, and that which may be theirs, I cannot refrain from going to them and telling them of it. The Paget Messages 1915. I know that you are glad that I am happy, and are interested in my progress, and hence, I love to come and let you know what my condition is. I will not write more tonight. So believe that I love you as a sister, and pray for you and ask the Father to make you happy and fill your soul with his love, and bless you. Good night. Your sister, say lieber. I am here, Mary. Well, doctor, I am here, as you may be surprised to know, if you had forgotten my last secret, but I don't believe that you have. I want to say that I am in a happier condition than I have ever been yet, for I am now in the celestial sphere where I know that happiness is so much greater than it has ever been. So you must believe me when I tell you that my love is so very much more abundant, and that you are dearer to me than ever before. So try to realize what I mean, and imagine that you are with me, even for a little while, and then you will be happier too. I have said what I wanted to say and must stop. A few days later, when the opportunity presented itself, Mary Kennedy wrote as follows. I am the spirit of a woman who once lived on earth in the faraway land across the ocean, and was known to my people as a little English girl of not much importance in the world, but now I am of great importance to a human who loves to have me with him, and I merely write this to let him know that he is not always in condition to sense when I am really with him, for I heard him say that I was not with him all the evening, and heard all that he said, and enjoyed hearing him talk, but until just now did not mention my name, And if that were the only sign that I have to know that he is thinking of me, I would suppose that he had forgotten me. But thanks to my powers to read his mind, that calling my name is not necessary. What do you think of that for a sentence? It is only representative of my love, for just as that sentence is long drawn out, so is my love. But I must not tell him, or he may become alarmed at what awaits him when he comes over. Well, I have introduced myself, and now I want to tell him how happy I am and describe briefly my home. My house is a beautiful one of which you might call alabaster, and in it I have many rooms suited to my various moods and conditions, all beautiful and full of the most perfect harmony, and everything to make me happy and contented. My music room is filled with many instruments of various kinds on which I can perform and bring 232, forth the most beautiful harmonies, and I can sing too. And when he comes over I am going to surprise him by playing and singing some of the songs he so much enjoys at the Colburns. I will prove to him that I was with him many times while he was a mortal and could not see and feel my presence. I have a library but not many of the spiritual books which he has read or heard of, for they do not contain anything that is helpful or beneficial to spirits who live in the soul spheres, because very few of them contain anything which shows or teaches the development of the soul or the grandeur of the Father's divine love. I have the most beautiful vines and roses all over the porches of my home. And in all the rooms are flowers and plants of the most exquisite colors and delicious perfumes. And the pictures on my walls are such as he has never seen on earth. The subjects portrayed are not of scenes that lend to make ignominy or strife or mortal passions appear, but all teach by their realism the truths of love and happiness. I do not have any beds to lie on, for as you know we never sleep, but we do have couches which I sometimes lie on to rest when I have become a little tired from work, and strange to say, I sometimes dream of him, as you mortals say. I have no kitchen, for we cook nothing, but my dining room is fitted up in a style that would make your mouth water, as it is filled with pictures of fruit and nuts and flowers, and other things, to suggest good eating. We eat and enjoy our eating as do you mortals, but our food is nuts and fruits, and our drink is pure water, with all the life-giving qualities that spirits need. The lawns round my home are very beautiful in the freshness and greenness, and the trees are grand old oaks, as you say, that cast their shade over the greensward, and over the many little nooks that abound in our gardens. And then the flowers are so abundant and so variegated in color, and delve in perfume. I have also a beautiful little lake of water in which are boats that carry one without the physical exertion that you have to exercise on earth. All is more beautiful than I can give you the faintest idea of, and there is only one thing wanting in all this beauty and happiness, and that is that man sitting opposite you, but I could not care to have him bring that mortal body, though he is a pretty good-looking boy as mortals go. But I can see beyond the mortal body, and I know that his soul is much more beautiful than his physical, the Paget Messages 1915, appearance, and yet I am afraid that his soul is not yet in that condition of development that would enable him to come to me just now. But he is developing, and before he comes over, I feel that he will be in condition that will bring him closer to me and closer, so that the distance between us will not be so great. If he will only try for this development as I am trying to help him develop, he will come very close to me when he comes over, and then he will have such love all around him that he will not find it difficult to progress to where his other half is, as Luke said. And speaking of this message of Luke, I want to say that I have my individualized form and a perfect one, so Helen says, and I know that I shall never lose it to enter into some other mortal. Why, the very thought of such a thing makes me wonder what all this great love of the Father was given to me for, if I am to be deprived of it and again become a mere mortal with all the passions and appetites of mortal. No. I have no fear of that. And he need not either think that when he once comes to his soulmate he will ever be separated again, and go back to that dark and gloomy earth to live. Well, I have written a long letter and must stop. So give him my love and tell him that I am with him more than he realizes, and will continue to do until he comes over. And thanking you for your kindness in permitting me to write so long, I will say good night, and subscribe myself your friend and his ever true and loving, Mary. Another short message from Mary Kennedy on her spiritual progress, which is as follows. I am progressing again, and this time to the third celestial kingdom and of the great glory of it all. Never did I conceive of such wonders and beauty, and when I come to the earth plane I want to bring my glory and beauty with me and wish that my soulmate could see it, but he cannot, and I can't describe it to him, for it is beyond all conception and description. But I must prove to him that I love him, for I am willing to leave all that beauty and grandeur for a time and come into these earth planes just because I love him so much. Someday he will realize what this all means, and then he will say to himself, how that little soulmate must have loved me. Well, I will not write more, will close with my kindest regards to you, and my soulmate love to Leslie. I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to write as I have. Your sister in Christ, Mary. I am here, your Helen. Well, sweetheart, we had quite a lovemaking scene between Mary and the doctor, and she was so happy that she could write to him that her whole soul was filled with emotion and many tears fell on her letter, though you could not see them. What a beautiful loving spirit she is, and how she loves the doctor. I enjoyed the scene more than I can tell you, and when she finished her writings, she came and threw her arms around my neck and cried until I thought that she could have no tears left, but they were tears of joy. Oh, how dear she is to me, for she seems to have a love that appeals to my love for you, and when she tells me of her great love for the doctor I join with her in her tears, and we both thank God that he has given us such soulmates, and the great love that we have for them. I have been with you all day trying to comfort you and help you forget the troubles of your earthly affairs, and to some extent I succeeded. You must love me more and think of me more often, for if you do you will draw me so close to you, that you will feel my love in all its power, and my presence will appear so real to you. I heard what you said to the doctor about giving a Mary a real lip kiss, and you were right, for while he may not be able to feel her kisses, she can his, and it will make her so happy. Notwithstanding our spirit love, we have that about us that causes us to enjoy what was a part of our earth nature. A kiss is just as sweet, yes, more so, than when we were mortals, and you must not think that we are such ethereal, nebulous beings that we cannot enjoy a kiss, or an embrace, for we enjoy both. And as you know, many times have I hugged you until you hollered. So tell the doctor that he can kiss his Mary just as often as he might were she in the flesh. I must stop now. A spirit requests to find his soulmate. Well, I will try to find his soulmate. He seems a man of a loving disposition, and he is in real earnest when he says he wants his soulmate, and he shall have her. So, sweetheart, say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. October 10, 1915. I am here, Jesus. I came tonight to tell you that you are nearer the kingdom than you have been for a long time, and that if you pray to the Father in more earnestness you will soon realize the inflowing of a divine love, that will make you 233, the Paget Messages 1915, free indeed and fit you to enjoy that close communion with the Father that will enable you to forget all your worries and disappointments, and see with your soul perceptions the great truths which I and my followers may endeavor to teach you. I know, that at times, it seems difficult to grasp the full meaning of faith in the Father and His love, but if you will earnestly seek for His love, you will find that there will come to you such a belief in His wonderful love and in the nearness of His presence, that you will be free from all doubt. You have asked me what is faith, and I will answer, faith is that which when possessed in its real and true meaning makes the aspirations and longings of the soul a real, living existence, and one so certain and palpable that no doubt will arise as to its reality. This faith is not the belief that arises from the mere operation of the mind, but that which comes from the opening of the perceptions of the soul, and which enables its possessor to see God in all His beauty and love. I do not mean that the possessor of this faith will actually see God in form or feature, for he has none such, but his soul perceptions will be in such condition that all the attributes of the Father will appear so plainly to him, that they will be as real as anything that he can see with the eyes of the spirit form. Such faith comes only with constant earnest prayer and the reception into the soul of the divine love. No man can be said to have faith who has not this divine love. Of course, faith is a progressive quality or essence of the soul, and increases as possession of this divine love increases, and is not dependent on anything else. Your prayers call from the Father a response that brings with it faith, and with this faith comes a knowledge of the existence of this love in your own soul. Many persons, I know, understand this faith to be a mere belief, but it is greater than belief, and is existing in its true sense only in the soul. Belief may arise from a conviction of the mind, but faith never can. Its place of being is in the soul, and no one can possess it unless his soul is awakened by the inflowing of this love. So that, when we pray to the Father to increase our faith, it is a prayer for the increase of love. Faith is based on the possession of this love, and without it there can be no faith, because it is impossible for the soul to exercise its function when love is absent from it. Sometime, as you progress in these writings, you will be in soul condition to understand just 234, what faith is, but until that time your faith will be limited by your possession of this love. Well, in my healing of the sick, and the blind and the others of earth, who needed a cure, when I said, as your faith so be it unto you, I meant that they must believe that the Father had power to bring about the cure, but I did not mean that if their minds merely had the belief that I might cure them, that then they would be cured. Belief was not sufficient of itself, but faith was required. Faith is not a thing that can be obtained by a mere exercise of the mind, but has to be sought for with the soul perceptions, and when obtained will be enjoyed only by the soul perceptions. I am with you in all my love and power, for I love you as I told you and desire that you shall become free and happy, so that you can do my work. With all my love and blessings I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. I am here, Jerome. Well, you seem to be in doubt as to who I am, but I will say that I am sometimes called Saint Jerome. Now, I merely want to say that you are very much in favor with the spirits who dwell in the celestial spheres, and with the Master as well, and that you will be the means of receiving and giving to the world some of the wonderful truths of the Father. I was not one when on earth who thought very much of these truths, for I was not acquainted with the soul development or the divine love. I thought more of the doctrines as propagated by the Catholic Church, and tried my best to make the doctrines of this Church the important things with the worshippers of the Church creeds. Your brother in Christ, Jerome. I am here, Professor Sayards. I heard your inquiries of your wife, and I was pleased that you expressed the desire to hear from me again, as I most assuredly want to write to you. Since I wrote you last, I have been living in the seventh sphere with my soulmate, and in close proximity to your Father, and have been very happy in the love which I now enjoy. I have seen so much of the effect of this divine love upon the souls of spirits who come into the possession of it, that I wonder more and more at the fact of its great power to make pure and truthful souls who were in such darkness and, the Paget Messages 1915, torment. I have seen some very surprising conversions of souls steeped in sin and error, in souls with their sins last leaving them and happiness and love coming to them in wonderful inflowing. Since I have been in the seventh sphere, I have paid very little attention to things about which I wrote you when in the beginning of my soul development, because with me now the soul and its divine possibilities are the things that absorb my attention and efforts. I am sorry that I cannot continue my writings on certain phases of the laws of the spirit world, but for the reasons stated I cannot, as only this great love and the work of helping men and spirits to obtain this divine love and to become children of the Father, are possessing me and occupying all my time and attention. So you must not feel disappointed that I do not continue the writings that I speak of. I can tell you about the seventh sphere and the life and inhabitants there and the wonderful happiness which we all enjoy. Our homes have been described to you by your grandmother and your wife, and I cannot add to their descriptions, only to say that they do not tell half of the beauty and grandeur of these homes and of the joy of the inhabitants. I am in a home of that kind now and am with my soulmate and we are very happy. I do not know at this time of anything more to write about. Well, you are not complimentary, but you are right. I seem to have lost my desire for investigating and writing about these things that I first wrote to you about, and I have not yet prepared myself to write of these higher things. So I will stop tonight. Your old friend and professor, Joseph H. Sayards. I am here, Saul of old. I came merely to say that you are very near the kingdom and the Father's love, for I can see the condition of your soul and the results of the prayers of yourself and friends. So let your faith increase until there will be no doubt that you are a child of the Father, and the one chosen to do the Master's work on earth. I'm merely telling you this in order to increase your faith in what has already been told you so often. I am one of the band which is back of you, sustaining you in the work you have to do and in the preparation you are now making to be able to do that work. Well, you will soon find yourself in that condition and will soon be free from these cares that you speak of. I will not write more tonight. Your brother in Christ, Saul. I am Gimses. I am a Greek, and lived in the time of Christ, although I never met him on earth, as I died shortly after he did. I was not a Christian, but a follower of Pythagoras and a believer in the immortality of the soul, but not in the sense that I have since been taught by Jesus. I am a Christian now and believe in the truths as taught by the Master, and am trying to understand them more thoroughly and live by them. I'm in the celestial spheres and am very happy. I will not write more tonight. He is the greatest spirit in all God's universe and the one altogether lovely. He is your friend and savior as well as mine, and you must listen to him when he comes to you in the kindness of his love and the power of his humility, and tell you of the great mission which he has given you to perform. You are now in the way and you must pray more and seek more of the divine love. Your friend in Christ, Gimses. October 11, 1915. I am here, Caligula. I was the Roman emperor and the murderer of the Christians, and have since that time, and for my sins, suffered all the horrors of the hell which I can't describe. Suffice it to say that the hell of a Bible or of those who interpret the Bible is not equal in its torments and horrors to the hell that I passed through. I tell you this that you may know that every man will have to pay the penalties for the evil deeds he does when on earth, and as my deeds were so extremely evil, my penalties were correspondingly great. But thank God, I have paid my penalties and am now enjoying the happiness of the Christian heaven, for I am now a follower of that Jesus, whose followers I persecuted. Strange as it may seem to you, the cause of my conversion to Christianity was one of the very Christians whom I murdered. She was a beautiful spirit when I first saw her in the spirit world, and when she came to me and told me of the great love of the Father, and the kindness and humility of the Master, I was then in much darkness, though I had suffered for many long years and my thoughts were commencing to 235, the Paget Messages 1915, turn to things that ultimately helped me to get out of my darkness and find relief from my sufferings. But this Christian spirit came to me with such love and forgiveness in her speech, that I was greatly affected by what she said and by her appearance, and I listened to her as she told me of the wonderful love of the Father and the great desire of the Master that I should seek for that love and the happiness which it brings to spirits who obtain it. She had many interviews with me, and at last, she told me that her happiness depended, to some extent, on my getting this divine love in my soul, and progressing with her to the sphere of light and love. She said that I was her soulmate and that my love was necessary for her happiness, and that I could not give her that love until I had become the possessor of the divine love to some extent. So you can imagine what an effect this declaration had on me. I saw that she was beautiful and pure and loving, and that I was not a fit soulmate for her, and that I must try to make myself a suitable soulmate in order that I could be with her. And in addition, when she told me of her love for me, and that we were necessary to each other's happiness, I had a most wonderful longing to be with her and enjoy her love, and the desire soon took possession of me, that I commenced to inquire the way by which I might get this great love, or start to get it, and she told me then of the love of the Master, and how he could teach me the way and what power he had to help spirits like myself to get out of the darkness and torture into light and happiness. And so I continued in my longings and desires, until at last, my spirit seemed to have a power to rise out of the darkness and to meet other spirits who were not dark and forbidding as I was. She often came to me and taught me to pray, and I did pray and ask forgiveness and for just a little of that divine love of which she had told me. At last, as I was praying and hoping for this love and for deliverance, the Master came to me, and such a wonderful loving spirit he was, the most beautiful and loving and yet the most humble that I had ever seen or ever have seen, and he commenced to tell me of this wonderful love of the Father, and how it was working for me to fill my soul and make a child of God, and at one with Him. And he told me that the only things necessary were for me to pray to the Father, and have faith and in all earnestness repent of my great sins. That if I did so, the love would come to me, and as it came into my soul all the sins and recollections of 236, my sins, would leave me so that I would be able to progress to a higher sphere, where light and love were. I could not resist his influence, and I did not want to, for my soulmate was with me in her love, with pleading eyes and anxious looks, and I commenced to have this faith, and to pray with all the earnestness of my soul, and, at last, light came to me and love came flowing into my soul, and what a happy spirit I became, and thanked God for his mercy. My soulmate rejoiced with me and we were so happy in our loves and in the great love of the Father. From thence I have been progressing ever since, until now I am in the celestial spheres, where love is the ruling principle and only those who possess this divine love can live, and where Jesus is our prince and elder brother. Caligula, the emperor, is now a humble follower of the despised Nazarene, and happy in his humility and in his following of such a loving Savior. My soulmate is with me, and whenever I look upon her and think that I was the cause of her sufferings and death upon earth, my whole soul goes out to her in great streams of love, and she knows it, and that is a part of my great repentance. So you see, that even though a man may be the vilest of sinners on earth, yet the Father's mercy is so great that his love is never turned away, or is his mercy ever withheld. I tell you that love, the Father's love, is the greatest thing in all the universe, and like unto it is the pure, holy love of the soulmate who has in her soul the great love of the Father. I must not write more tonight, but as I was passing I saw the brilliant light that is with you and I embraced the opportunity to write. Yes, it was Celestia. And what an appropriate name, my friend. You must also thank God for his goodness to you, for I have seen your soulmate and she is a most beautiful spirit. So with the love of a brother in Christ, I am your friend, Caligula. The Roman Emperor that was, and the Christian that is, October 16, 1915. I am here, John. You are now so filled with the love of the Father and the influence of the Master that you are very near the kingdom. The Master is with you in all the fullness of his love and blessings, and no wonder that you should receive him in so palpable and conscious a manner. He certainly loves you. The Paget Messages 1915, and if you could only see his glory as he writes to you, and the great streams of love that flows from him to you, you would never again doubt that he is with you and that you are the object of his care. It is wonderful, and we are all amazed at the great display of his love for you, and we rejoice that it is so, for we know that to him you are the most important of mortals. You will soon commence again to do his work and your soul will be so filled with the divine love that you will receive his messages in such soul understanding that there will be no possibility of any mistake being made. And such messages of truth as they will be, why the whole world will stand in wonder and amazement that such truths should come to you, and, as a consequence, many a mortal will be brought to see the great plan of man's redemption, and will turn to the love of the Father and receive that great inflowing of love that will show them beyond all doubt that they have become at one with the Father and are inheritors of his immortality. So, as I say, we all rejoice, and are anxious that the work begin, and we are all preparing to help in conveying these great truths of the Father. So you must believe and accept what is written to you as true. Let not what may be contained in the Bible, or what the preachers or commentators may say, influence you in any way to believe or write anything other than what the Master may write you. The book, The Atonement by Pastor Russell, that you have been reading tonight contains many truths in regards to Jesus' relationship to the Father, and that there is only one God, and that the Father, no other God is there, and Jesus is his best beloved Son. The plan of salvation as contained in that book is not correct, for, as we have told you before, the blood of Jesus has nothing to do with the plan of salvation, only the bestowal of the gift of divine love and the teachings of the Master as to how it may be obtained saves man from sin and error and brings about that atonement which the author writes about. My dear brother, if you only knew how much we all love you and are interested in your welfare and the work which is before you, You would be very thankful to the Father for having had the Master select you, and would also never cease to love and honor the great Master for his love and friendship. I, John, tell you all this, because I know whereof I speak.